Welcome everyone to the BAC election special. It's 2025 and I'm here with Frank Salter and myself, Harry Richardson. We're going to have a quick run through on the options that we've got.
Yeah, the general point is that let's start with generalities and then we'll go to specifics. The general reality is that Australia does not have one political party, major or minor, that explicitly stands for the welfare and the rights of Anglo-Celtic Australians, the founding ethnic group of Australia.
But can I just ask a question here? We've got sure. An awful lot of Anglo-Celtic descended parliamentarians. Do any of them stand up explicitly for Anglo-Celtic rights?
I don't think there's one that I'm aware of. Are there any that you're aware of?
No, I'm not aware of any. But this is a funny thing that people look at the parliament and say, look at all these white people, but not one of them is advocating for white interests in the way that, say, the Aboriginal senator who very vociferously advocates for Aboriginal
Price.
Rights.
Miss Price.
No, not Miss Price, it's Lydia Thorpe.
That's right. Now, I imagine that if we could sit down all those hundreds of parliamentarians in the federal and the state parliaments and discussed it quietly with them and said, why not just state that you do care about the welfare of Anglo-Celtic Australians and for Greek Australians and for Chinese Australians and for all the others. Of course, you wouldn't deny that. Australia is officially a multicultural society after all, but you also care for the Anglo-Celts who founded the nation and are still a majority in Australia today. I think basically most would sense extreme danger to their careers, but some I think would go along with it. And that's well, our job
privately.
To locate.
Privately they might, I'm sure.
No, I mean some I suspect could be induced to come out and admit their the respect and love for the Anglo-Celtic people. But we haven't done that, and we don't have the resources to have a long conversation with each.
Not yet. When we've got 50,000 members, we'll do that. All right, so with that out of the way, let's talk about the major parties, shall we?
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, let's start with a rundown of the big four. So should we start from the bottom, from the bottom up? We'll start with the Greens.
Well, I would start by saying that none of the big four, that's on the right-hand, so-called right-hand side, the Liberals and Nationals, and on the left, definitely the left-hand side, the Greens and Labor, none of those big four parties cares at all about Anglo-Celtic Australians. They're not there. They're not there listening to our representatives. They're not reaching out to them and so on. So it begins with a nil and goes down from there.
We're into minus territory. All right, so let's start with the nil, which is Liberals, shall we? What would you like to say about our Conservatives? What are they actually conserving, do you think? On this election, they're talking about maybe, I'm in an hour a little bit about small government and productivity increases, maybe having bringing in nuclear power. What's your thoughts?
Well, they really cut to the chase. They wheeled out one of their big guns, the intellectual cutting through minds, Tony Abbott. And he gave gave an announcement where he declared that the Liberal Party is the immigrant party. It's the migrant party.
Yeah.
At a time of extremists when we're rapidly approaching minority status, Mr. Abbott thought it was appropriate to declare, well, the Liberal Party is a migrant party. And there's one thing that can be said about that. Yes, maybe disloyal and everything, but I think it's completely honest. I think he absolutely means that. And I think that they have meant it for a long time.
I'm a migrant. Do you think they care about me?
Individual, not your ethnic group, which is not true for the others.
What's galling with the Liberals is the Liberals are the great hope for so many people.
Yeah.
These are the people who, I mean, at least Labour and the group, well, let's say with the Greens, at least the Greens are honest. They say we hate you. they're pretty forthright. They just hate white people. And the Conservatives are saying, like with Malcolm Fraser, hey, look at Whitlam, how bad he is. come and vote for me and I'll sort this problem out. And what did Fraser do? You know, for those, the younger ones probably don't remember this, but Fraser just completely betrayed us. He said, there's an interview of one of his major, his main advisors, who said that Malcolm Fraser was determined to break the back of Anglo-Australia. This was back in 1975. What's that? Is that 50 years ago?
Talking with John Menadue, the senior public servant.
Yeah. So he said, I want to
break. On that term. Yeah. We'll break the back of white Australia.
Yeah.
But there's something that more that can be said about the Liberals' policy in this election. Peter Dutton, the leader, has promised a 25% cut in permanent migration. Better than nothing. It means instead of becoming a minority in, say, you know, 2050, we'll become a minority in 2060, which I suppose, you know, is a respite. It's a respite.
It's an improvement.
And I should note that in 2024, just last year, Dutton declared that he would halve permanent migration, and he had to climb down. He had to walk it back. He had to walk it back. I think running it back would be closer to the truth. He was going to halve the intake, and he was quietly informed by the various lobbies, powerful lobbies, no, you're not. You're not doing that. So he's reduced it to a 25% reduction.
Which we can be fairly sure he'll renege on once he gets in power, I would imagine. It's a little cynical, but maybe he won't. But the Liberals generally are actually better than Labour in this respect, as in several others. But better is a long way from good.
Can I say something else about the Liberals? Because that happens to be the party that I'm most disappointed with. That's the way to put it. I'm most disappointed with the Liberals because most Australians see them as a conservative alternative to the progressive left. Mm. And in some regards, for example, the previous Liberal administration was concerned about defence, at least somewhat, while Labor and Greens don't give a fig about defence. Yeah. But their record on immigration has been so appalling. Why? Because they attract votes of people wanting to slow down change, wanting to slow down immigration, and they've betrayed them again and again. Mm. So my personal view with regard to Peter Dutton is, to be at all credible, what he needs to do is call a big press conference, and when all the media are there, he needs to go into an abject, formal apology on behalf of the Liberal Party for their betrayal over the last half century, and go into detail about what the betrayal was in principle, where they did it, and so on. Mm. And then needs to roll out a new policy, a policy that is overtly Anglo-centric. In the sense of saying, yes, I admit Australia's core identity is in fact Anglo-Celtic. We were created by Britain, of course, and I sincerely apologise for denying that before. The likelihood of that happening is how great, do you think, Harry?
The words snowflake and hell seem to spring to mind immediately. Probably not even on his deathbed, but who knows? Pretty slim. And that's our greatest hope in the majors. Having said that, I always advise people to ensure that when you're putting down your preferences, because we have a preferential system, make sure that the Greens go last, Labour second last, and Liberal above that. Because no matter how bad the Liberals are, you remember when Labour got in last time, the very first thing, before it even barely set foot in Parliament, Albanese shot straight off to India on his, probably on a private jet, I'm not sure, and was there with a turban and a red spot on his head doing a deal on immigration with the Indians. Now, why was that such a massive priority, and what was the deal? I mean, when we do a deal, if I do a deal with you, I get something and you get something. So the Indians got access to Australia's vast wealth for their migrants. What did we get? What was it that we got? Or was it, maybe Aldo got something? I don't know, but I haven't had any checks in the mail. I don't know about you.
So that's right. On their side, what they get is access to Australia by hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Hindus, basically.
Yeah.
And what do we get out of it? What actually was it?
Well, another one, what they actually get, as well as access, they also get political power, because every single one of them that comes in is given the passport and a vote. This election's, I believe, 840,000 new voters this election. So now our intake is around 85% non-European, I believe. Now, some of those new voters will be new white voters, but as well as those coming in, there are those checking out, which is people passing away. And of those dying, I would suggest that probably, what would you guess at? It's what, north of 90%, maybe certainly north of 80% will be white, yeah?
The
vast majority are Anglo-white. And the vast majority of those 840,000 coming in will be from non-European backgrounds. Now, some of them will be great people, but they have no connection to this country. They have no connection to our history, to our culture. How many of them understand things like free speech or, rule of law and things like this, as well as just even the basic etiquette and courtesy in the country. And then there's some of them who are coming from countries which are virtually, countries that are racked by extreme violence, poverty, corruption, entirely unsuited to live in a modern democracy like ours, Western democracy. How are those people going to vote? If you go to one of our political leaders and tell them, hey, I've got 850,000 votes here that are up for grabs, what are you prepared to do for it? They'll crawl over broken glass, I would suggest, which is why I expect Tony Abbott was there declaring that the Liberals are the migrant party, because me and you will, in this election, we'll probably vote for the same people we voted for in the last election and the one before and the one before. And most Anglo voters will either vote Labour, Liberal, or maybe Greens, maybe National. These new voters, they're completely up for grabs, and they're registered to vote, and they have to vote. Every single one of them has to vote. When these politicians go to these people and say, listen, I want you to vote for me, what are they going to promise them? But productivity increases? Smaller government? You think that these new migrants coming from Afghanistan have any idea what's meant by a productivity increase? Alternatively, they could offer them more immigration rights for your people, better welfare checks, redistribution of wealth from these wealthy Australians to migrants like yourself.
One thing is sure, they will pay a lot of attention to their ethnic interests, to their tribal cultural interests.
Of course.
And because people who've recent migrants, this is a general global rule, are very aware of their difference. They feel different. They feel a bit isolated. They're not enculturated yet. They might not know how to dress or speak English, for example, very well. So they're hyper aware of their difference, which means they're ethnocentric compared to the native majority, are far more relaxed about ethnic matters, far more relaxed. And this is what mass migration and multiculturalism have been based on, which is majorities' relaxation about such matters compared to the minorities' intense ethnocentrism and anxiety, which goes with it, and block voting. And this is something you've discussed in the past. Yeah. Tremendous block voting. So politicians know that if they can appeal to identity, these new people's identities, if they're lucky, they can get block voting in their favour. And this is characteristic of the Western world, where you have large immigrant minorities. Yeah. They'll come in and they'll vote, and their community leaders will also promote block voting. Vote for the Democrats, not for the Republicans. Vote for, and so on.
Yeah.
And this is how multiculturalism got started in Australia in the 60s and 70s.
They're going to be there negotiating on behalf of their constituents with the political leaders. And whereas, as you said, that most of the Australians are fairly relaxed about this. So this is one of our real big problems now. And the politicians just show, the major politicians show no backbone to resist this. They're just all in, boots and all, 850,000 votes. That's just in a country like Australia, that where elections typically go down to the wire. It's like 52% is a landslide, and you've got this mass of new people. So they're going to be calling over themselves to look after their interests and ignore ours. But you have a new party, I think. Is it new this time? The Muslim Party in Sydney?
I believe there is one.
Yeah, which panders entirely to the ethnic bloc of Muslims.
You know, of course, it can't go too far, given that they're, 2 or 3% of the population. It can't go too far.
Possibly, right. Yeah. But in some minority areas, there's going to be concentrated areas around Sydney and Melbourne where they could take seats.
The Labor Party already is very nervous about losing the Muslim vote. Yeah. And they've been very, very nervous about that. For this reason of marginality, one has to be very careful. I just wanted to make a comment about the National Party. In the old days, it was called the Country Party.
Yeah, that's correct.
And one would expect, knowing the demographics, these are far more conservative people who live in regional towns and in the outback cities and so on, and more ethnically aware, typical of old frontier societies, that they're more tribal, more ethnocentric. So what does the National Party make do with that? Nothing. They do nothing with it. They don't appeal to their ethnic interests. Now, I once had a look at the data on Pauline Hanson's party, and it drew disproportionately from the outskirts of the big cities, and especially regional Australia, regional cities and regional centres. They drew on those, and they made some use of that, I think partly by chance, because people in that part of the country admired Pauline Hanson. But what do the Nationals do? They make no use of it whatsoever. So again, an untapped electoral resource is not being used, and it's sad.
Coming in behind them is the Greens, and they don't want just migrants. They want refugees and the family reunion, which is basically refugees on steroids, because a lot of these refugees that come in, they might have an extended family. Often the paperwork for these people is very, very blurry, the countries they come from. So they just claim, oh, this is my brother, this is my uncle, this is my auntie, this is my daughter, without any. It's very hard to have these things. These countries are very corrupt. You can get this paperwork quite easily, because I think we're in a worse state demographically than Britain, to be honest with you. I think we've had more, our percentage of migration is higher than Britain, but the British have had more Islamic immigration, and that is becoming disastrous for them. You know, we saw recently with the stabbing a bunch of little girls in a dance studio, which might, you've got daughters. I don't know if any of your daughters went and did dance when they were young. You know, it's lovely to go and watch them, your daughter there, and dressed up in the little gear, and they're doing the dance and everything. And this guy walks into the dance studio and stabs a bunch of them to death, stabbed another bunch of them, critically injured, stabbed the ladies who were trying to protect the children. Turns out that he was a Muslim. People have been locked up for 18 months for being outraged on social media, saying that this is disgusting. It was understandable anger, which was deleted a couple of hours later. And there's people in prison, I think, to this day for that. And then it turned out people were being told, don't dare say this was a Muslim, when the government knew full well that it was. They had the ISIS manuals out of his bedroom and things, and they were saying, oh, he's a Welsh schoolboy. His parents were from Rwanda, which is a country where, when I was not that young, they were hacking people to death. They hacked 500,000 people to death with machetes. Is this a good place to bring migrants from? The Greens represent a real dangerous move in bringing in large numbers of Muslims. People know my views on this. I've written on it. I've written the book, The Story of Muhammad, explains why this is something which is not compatible with just not compatible with Western democracy or any other real belief system. Islam is just not compatible with other belief systems because it's so aggressive and seeks to dominate the whole world. So why would you bring them into your country in the first place? That would be a question I'd be asking. The other thing is that the Greens, if it's a close election, all the major parties are now hemorrhaging voters, so there's a good chance of a coalition between the Greens and Labour, which means that Greens will get probably what they want with immigration, which will be a massive increase in refugees, which are coming from the most conflict-racked areas of the world. And areas that are conflict-racked are often because the people and the cultures there are steeped in conflict. my advice to people is make sure you put the Greens last, Labour second last, and Liberals third last. And then when if your votes exhaust, at least it doesn't go to Labour and the Greens.
Can I suggest an alternate view? And I think you're correct. If one is playing the percentages, being logical, being careful and conservative, yes, put the Greens and Labour last. An alternate view is this. I'm more disappointed and cautious towards Liberals than I am towards Labour. Labour and the Greens have basically declared war on Anglo-Celtic Australia. They've made themselves into enemies of the founding ethnic group, while the Liberals and the National partners, the Liberals portray themselves as conservatives. My bitterness towards them is much greater, and I think that's appropriate too. So my alternate approach, I think patriotic voters should consider, is not voting Liberal until they change their immigration policy, because this has become an existential matter. It's a matter now of survival of the nation, and it's hell. It could be. Australia has been a paradise compared to other countries around the world. Relatively homogeneous, easygoing people, easygoing culture, very tolerant, low levels of ethnic conflict, some issues with Aboriginals wanting to correct things, I understand that, some inequality. But on a global comparison, paradise on earth, but it could become hell on earth if we allow the national identity to be ripped and changed as is happening. And the Liberal Party has been a necessary, not a sufficient, but a necessary condition for this to happen, because it has betrayed conservative voters for decade after decade. And so I think enough is enough with all this fine calculation and so on. And so a different approach would be to say, we're in a horrible situation. Just don't vote for the coalition until they correct their ways. They need to learn that they've been taking Anglo-Celtic Australians' votes for granted. That shouldn't happen anymore. Now, I know that's a little bit emotional. I understand that. But I think it's worth trying.
A big part of me says, smiles and says, yes, I agree. Let's give them a really good kick. Supposing we take that to the limit, and let's say everyone said, hey, Frank's got a really good point here, and no one voted Liberal, entirely Labour. And in the meantime, what's going to happen to Australia? By the time they get back in, it probably take at least a couple of elections. By that time, I think we're in serious trouble, because this is. What people don't seem to realize is that this is if the economy goes down, we could have a recession tomorrow, and in 5 years' time, we could have an economic recovery and power away. When you bring in a migrant and give them a passport, getting rid of them be easier to get rid of a herpes or something like that. You know, it's you have a migrant that they're a citizen. If the Labour Party brought in 15-20 million Indians and 15 or 20 million Chinese, it's all over. There's our votes count for absolutely nothing. Then the election after that, the Liberals come back and say, okay, we'll look after the whites. You can all vote for us. And it's like, well, yeah, but we're only 5% of the population, so you've got no chance.
Well, I think that's just a false comparison, because it's just simply not going to happen that the Liberals would get no votes. That's just unrealistic. What would happen is that they would lose a marginal vote, a marginal patriotic vote. They would lose election after election, election. Of course, they'd have many, many members of parliament and senators and so on, but they just wouldn't. Their cyclic return to office would not happen, and their opinion polling would tell them, "Oh, it's because all we did was betray the founding ethnic group. Can't they live and let live?" No, live and let die. That should be the message for the Liberal Party. And any Liberal Party senator or MP who betrays that interest should live in fear, should live in electoral fear of losing election after election. That's the principle. Now, I don't think that it's going to make that big a difference to the immigration numbers. Don't forget, the two parties are almost indistinguishable when it comes to immigration policy. So the nation's dying anyway, the nation's being swamped anyway, there might be a slight difference in speed, but basically both are going in the same direction. But I think the same applies to the Labor Party. I think that Labor voters, and there are a lot of tribal voters, people wedded to the Liberal Party or the Nationals or to Labor, I think they should also look out for their interests, and they should pursue this policy as well. And so that comes back to the BAC. The BAC needs to educate people as to where their interests lie.
There was quite a lot. I think it was 30%, it might have been more, of Labour voters who voted no in the referendum, which speaks to your point. You know, that there's a lot of Labour people there who don't agree with the mass migration. I having worked in construction for many years and been in the union movement even, I'd agree with that. There's a lot of Labour voters who are not on board with this. Yeah, so look, I mean, that comes to our next point, which is that we definitely should be, if possible, preferencing some of these minor parties above the four majors.
I think absolutely. Voters need to be putting the minor parties first and then Liberal and Labour right at the bottom.
I've got to say, of the minor parties, I do like Gerard Rennick's People First Party.
So the number one I wanted to mention was Rennick's, exactly, as you were doing. The People First Party, they have widespread candidates. Second comes Pauline Hanson's One Nation Party.
They're quite similar. I looked at their immigration things. They're actually similar to Rennick's.
So. Okay. The zero net policy on immigration. Then number three is the Sustainable Australia Party. That's Dick Smith supports that, for example. Now, they're not at all ethnic, but their policies would drastically reduce immigration because they're concerned about preserving the environment. Number four comes the Libertarian Party. Mm. Again, they're not explicitly ethnic, but they do believe in free speech, which is almost like an ethnic marker of Anglo-Celts, actually.
Funnily enough.
And then comes at the tail end a number of parties, some which contain some excellent people and some common sense. I'll quickly run through them. Mm. The Catters Australia Party, the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers Party, even in the Liberal Party, Alex Antic, South Australian Liberal anyway. Then comes the Trumpet of Patriots,
Clive
Palmer's party. Those are the ones that occurred to me. Yeah.
Just a shout out here to anyone in Queensland, Rob McMullen, I believe on the Trumpet of Patriots ticket. And he's a very good guy. He's worked with the BAC. He's absolutely outstanding candidate. You know, definitely put him in there. It's very, very important to look at individual candidates as well and encourage people to actually get up and go make an appointment and visit your local MP and tell him what you think. If they have a queue out the door of people telling them exactly what they think and they're all saying the same thing, we're sick of immigration, that sends a powerful message. I think that's stronger in a way than not voting, because these guys live in a bubble in Canberra and they often don't know what's going on. But if they've got people banging on their door all the time and dressing them down, that's very powerful.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you began with Rennick's People First Party. Shall we go through some of these individual parties and say something about them? You might take up again, you were talking about Rennick's.
Yeah, so he's got cut and cap immigration, deny entry from radical nations. That's an important one. This is, you know, and I think we could extend that. It's not too far from what we'd like, which is deny entry from nations which are not really compatible. I mean, they might not be what you call radical, but they're often maybe not quite compatible with us. There's some nations which are more compatible to the culture that we have and the society we have than there are others. So why wouldn't you preference them? Then he's got deport illegal immigrants. I mean, this is our elites make such a big thing of this. Trump is trying to deport MS-13 gang members who are rapists and murderers, and they're demanding that he brings them back. Don't, how dare you deport these people? They're illegal gang members who are criminals. I mean, deport violent foreign criminals, abolish the ART appeals process, which is there's an appeals process that drags this stuff out. Investigate and close fraudulent education providers. That's a huge one, because this is just a scam that's going on of this education providers. These are fraudulent. Reduce foreign student intake. We just can't take. We have, if you look at the figures, Australia takes, I think we're one of the biggest numbers of foreign students in the world for a country with a population that's tiny. It's destroying our universities. And they're coming to study here, not because they want to study, because they want the visas and they want to get in. If you wonder where all these Uber drivers and Uber Eats drivers are coming from, that's one of the big areas, I believe.
No, well, to comment there on that, that has sort of happened in alliance with the federal government, which has reduced its expenditure on universities, and by allowing the universities to become a big business by basically selling places to foreigners, full fee paying, it's
really
a huge amount of money.
What they're really doing is selling passports,
and they are. And it's become the second or third largest income stream from foreign sources. So the universities would object and say, but we'll go bankrupt. We can't do this. I think what you've pointed out is there's also a thing called the national interest, and this has become an avenue of high third world immigration to Australia, which is challenging and threatening our national identity and social cohesion on a large scale. So I think this just needs to be looked at, and the universities have become too much free market organs driven by the profit margin rather than by academic excellence.
Well, if the profit margin was aligned with the national interest, that wouldn't be a problem, but the profit margin is based on a loophole where they're selling access. They're selling something that they're not supposed to be selling, which is access to the country. You know, the government's saying, well, if you come and study here, we'll put you on a fast track to getting a visa, to getting citizenship. So that, you know, it doesn't matter how bad the scholarship in the universities, people are not coming for that. Rennick, with no welfare benefits for 10 years. So foreign-born citizens have to wait for 10 years for benefits, which I think is a no-brainer personally, and repeal the India deal. I mean, yeah, get rid of it. One Nation's policies were also very similar and good. Malcolm Roberts has been a standout for One Nation. We've worked with Malcolm. He's a great guy, so we always recommend him.
Well, the other was the Sustainable Australia Party, and that's, again, as I said, it's not at all ethnic. Doesn't care about identity at all, just about ecological sustainability, but the effect would be dramatic.
And oddly enough, the Greens don't agree with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it at the other end?
It's beautiful. The irony.
Yeah. Let's just bring as many people as we can in here, and we don't care what damage that does to the environment, but we're the Greens. It's like, oh, yeah, we'll build a few more windmills, everything will be okay. Just insane. Well, just a note on that they're not conservative. So the things like abortion, so for those who are conservative, that might be an issue, but I'll just point that out. I'm not an expert on that party, but that's one of the things someone flagged.
Well, then there's the Libertarian Party are running for the senators in every state.
Oh, yeah. So I think they vary a little bit from state to state. So I would.
Our sincere apologies. The stream crashed midway through. Our takeaway is this: the bigger the cuts to immigration, the better position on your ballot. Familiarise yourself with your local candidates. While at this stage, no particular party will explicitly stand up for Anglo-Celtic interests, you can still vote strategically to best serve the nation. Consider these party options and familiarise yourself with the particular candidates in your area. We understand many of the below parties have particular positives and negatives. Gerard Rennick's People First, Sustainable Australia Party, One Nation, the Libertarian Party, and Trumpet of Patriots. Use your vote wisely to defend the Australia we love.